Welcome to the Saving Grace Adventist Church Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed by the Word of God.
Let us seek the Lord in prayer at this time. O Heavenly Father, gracious God and our Redeemer, our Lord and soon coming King, we approach your mercy seat. We give you thanks for another day to worship you. We thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. Lord, help us to give you the praise because you are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. In fact, angels in heaven are praising you. How much more we who have sinned against you, whom you have redeemed, we need to lift our voices in thankfulness and praise. So we gather to worship you today. Bless our worship. May you speak through me to your people, and bless your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' ministry would have been completed. He was crucified, buried, resurrected. And after his resurrection, he met with his disciples on many occasions. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1 and from verse 4 that on one of these occasions, Jesus said to the disciples that they are to, he gave them a command that they are to wait for the promise of the Father that he had told them of. And they were to wait for this promise because there was a mission for them to accomplish. Jesus had instructed the disciples that they were to be witnesses to all nations. They were to take the gospel, the good news of salvation to all people. But they must wait for the Holy Spirit before they were to go and do this work. Yes, God had important work for them to do. But this work could not be done. It could not be accomplished by human effort. This work could only be accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit. A lot of dangers and challenges were ahead of them. A lot of difficult moments lie ahead of them. And so the disciples were to wait. They were not to go fishing. They were not to sit and be idle. They were to wait for the promise of the Father. They were to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Likewise, my brothers and sisters, God has important work for us to do as a church, as his people. And we too must wait. We must receive the Holy Spirit before we can do the work of the Lord. Are you hearing me? In order for us to accomplish the work that God has for his people, we must do something. We must wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, many times we run ahead of God and we do our own work. And that is the why we fail on so many occasions. That is the why after we have tried everything, then we wonder, why did it not work? Why it is not working out? Because on so many occasions, we don't wait on the Lord. We don't allow his Holy Spirit to take possession and to lead us in the direction that God wants us to go. You know, I give you an experience. I remember some years ago, I was chairman of a school, one of the Adventist school board. And for many years, the church and the school were on the same property. The church and the school was built by the church. And they wanted to buy the property at the back of the school. Actually, the school, the back of the school was in line, as it were, resting on a portion of the land that was to be sold. And in order for us not to have problem with anyone else who gets that property, it is best for us to have that school, have that property. Because to get to the back of the property, you have to go through the schoolyard, through the churchyard. So just imagine if someone else has bought that piece of land at the back. And so the owner of the land wanted the church to get the land, even though she was not an Adventist. And then, I don't know what was the problem, but for many years, the land was there to be sold. Nothing was being done. And so when I went there, I decided that we need to buy this piece of land because we could foresee problem, danger. The lady was now getting old. She didn't have any children. She adopted some children. And if anything goes wrong, the children would take over. And so, for about 2 years, we were dialoguing with the conference, asking for guidance and to help us to get this property. But very little was done. And then they went away to General Conference, and the lady was desperate to now sell this property. So you know what? We decided we're going to take it to the Lord in prayer. So we had our school board meeting. And there and then we decided we were going to pray. Ask the Lord for guidance. And we, a few of us, and we sat there that night and we agonized. We prayed, we asked the Lord. And then the Lord gave the direction. He said that we are to go to this old lady and ask her to give us the down payment. Because the lady had asked for a down payment. If we could give her the down payment, then she would take that and then we could pay in installment. So we asked the Lord, and the Lord gave us the direction. Go to that lady. Ask her to lend us the money. And it was late in the night. We went there and we called, and she answered, and we went in and we sat with her and we said, you know, this is a problem and we would like to borrow $500,000 so we can make this down payment. The lady looked at us and said, why not take a million? Why not take a million? I mean, we could not. We were there wondering if we could really go and ask for so much money from this old lady. But she said, why not take a million? And the following day, we went with her to the bank, got the million, and now we could pay down that installment on the property. And we got, you know, papers signed up and everything. And then when the people came back from General Conference, we brought them in into the situation. We showed them what had happened. And then they come now and put their signature on it as well. And so in 3 years' time, we were able to pay off over $3 million. Every year we paid over $1 million on the. We don't know where the money came from. That is what I'm talking about, waiting on the Lord. We must allow God's Spirit to lead the way. When God is leading, my friend, He will lead us in the right path. Are you hearing me? So it is important for us as a church to have the power of God's Holy Spirit. We need to recognize that waiting is sometimes a part of God's plan. We sing the song, they that what? Wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall what? Mount up with wings like eagle. My brothers and sisters, we must learn to wait on the Lord. He said, we must wait. Don't go. Wait. And then He will lead us in the right part. Wait for the promise of the Father. Let's look at verse 5 of Acts chapter 1. So he says here in verse 5, for John baptized with what? With water, but But in a few, well, I'm reading from a New International Version. But in a few days, you will what? You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Water baptism is important. Water baptism is good. I remember the day when I got baptized, my friends, my heart was filled with joy. I was so glad that I cried. I don't know how many of you cried that day when you got baptized. But I was so happy, Sister Gray, because you see, I was going to a Sunday church before. And one day at that church, I saw two persons arguing about baptism. One was saying, you are to be baptized. The other was saying, you don't have to be baptized. And I was there as a little boy, confused. I went home that Sunday and I fell on my knees and I said, Lord, I am confused. I don't know what to do. I want you to prove to me that I must be baptized. And if you can prove it to me, then no one can change this decision in my heart. And I told the Lord the following day, Lord, I am going somewhere. And at 12 o'clock, I want you to give me this specific sign. I told the Lord what sign he should give to me. And I remember going to the place the day. And then I heard on the radio. Radio was playing, and then the time was given 12 o'clock, 12 noon. And the same time, I remember the promise I made to the Lord, the same sign I asked the Lord for, he showed it to me. And so there and then in my heart, I decided I must be baptized. But my church did not baptize. They only confirmed. And so I was there going to church. But in my mind, I am to be baptized. And so when that opportunity came for me to be baptized and I went under that water, into the water and came up, my friend, it was joy in my heart. I cried from the time of my baptism until after sunset. I was filled with joy. It's a good thing, my friend, when you get this water baptism. But I want you to know that far more important than the water baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me, church? That is what makes us Christians. Are you hearing me? That is what makes us disciples. That is what gives us the power to do the work of the Lord. That is what unites us together as a family. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever seen some churches, my friend? There are so many members, but yet the church is so divided. They are so confused. There is so much problem. It is because most of the time, the people don't have the power of God's Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? The Spirit is not the author of confusion. He unites us as a family. He brings us together that we can live together as one. Black and white, rich and poor. It doesn't matter who we are, educated or uneducated. We are one in the family of God. And so that's the baptism that the church needs, my friend. What a difference it would make, Sister Gray, if every Seventh-day Adventist should be filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit. What a difference it would make if every member of the church was filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, my friend, great things would be accomplished. The apostles were able to look on a man who had not walked for so many years of his life, and they could say to him, listen, look at us, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we will give. Hallelujah. They had the power of God's Holy Spirit in them. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. A man who had never walked before, all of a sudden, he felt strength in his body. He could now get up and walk and shout and praise God. That's what the power of God's Holy Spirit will do for God's people. It will break down walls, barriers, partitions. It will bring us together as God's
people, my friend, the power of God's Holy Spirit is our greatest need in God's church today. It would turn America upside down for Jesus. You wonder, with so many people living here, how can just a few Adventists make a difference? Well, let me tell you, the secret is in the power of the Holy Spirit. How are you hearing me? It is not in our education. It is not in our material gain. The power that will change the world is the power that comes through God's Holy Spirit. And that is what the church needs, my friend. That is what every member needs. When God's people have the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to beg them to go to witness. You don't have to beg them to share the love of God. Paul says, the love of God constrained me. The Holy Spirit is leading you. There is no limit to the power of what God's Spirit can do. Are you hearing me, church? We should never underestimate the power of God's Holy Spirit. So in verse 6, it says, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? When they met together, they asked him. The Greek construct suggests that they repeatedly keep asking him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? You see, my friends, as far as the Jews were concerned, there was this messianic hope that one day they would be redeemed, they would be set free from the Romans' oppression. They were tired of being led by the Romans. They were tired of being controlled by the Romans. So this was one of their hopes, that a Messiah would come to overthrow the Roman Empire and set the Jews free. So now Jesus had done so many miracles when he was alive with them before his death. They had seen all what he had done. They thought that he would have taken over by then and rule, but he did not. They saw that he died. And their hopes were dashed. But guess what? Hope sprang back to life because what? Jesus was now alive. He had risen from the grave. So they thought that now is the time. He has conquered even death. The only thing left for him to conquer is the Roman Empire and set the Jews free. So this was uppermost in their mind, to be a nation ruling themselves. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? The disciples, somehow they did not understand what the kingdom of God meant. They were thinking about a physical kingdom, but Jesus was talking about a spiritual kingdom. Are you hearing me? He came to set men free from sin. He came to give men hope. Are you hearing me? He came to deliver us from the bondage of sin and to give us power that we can live for him. This is the kingdom of grace, which will one day become the kingdom of glory. They wanted to be free, but God was talking about spiritual freedom. So you know what? Instead of giving them a direct answer to their questions, Jesus pointed them to the work that was ahead. Are you hearing me? Jesus let them know that, listen, there is work to be done. Are you following me? There is work that you have to go and do before the kingdom will be established. So he continues in verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. It is not for you to know the time or the date. There are two Greek words used there. We have chronoi. Chronoi is talking about chronological time, time in general. The next word is kairoi. It is talking about a specific climatic point in time with a particular event that would take place. In other words, Jesus was simply saying, it is not for you to know the date or the manner in which the Father had set for his kingdom. That was not your business. Your business is to go and preach the good news of salvation. Your business is to go and tell men and women about the risen Savior. Are you hearing me? They had a work to do. And so he said to them, but you see, well, before I get there, he let them know that this was the authority or the power of the Father to do that. It is not for them, but for the Father who had decided when. They were not to be concerned about that. There are so many times people worry their head when people set dates about when Jesus should come. Are you hearing me? People do all kinds of things because Jesus is coming on such a particular day. Jesus said, it is not your business. That is not your business. That is left to the Father. He has the authority. The word for authority here is the Greek word exousia. Exousia, the authority. Let me give you an example. I remember some years ago, there was to be a general election in Jamaica. So P.J. Patterson, Prime Minister P.J. Patterson at the time, he was the Prime Minister, and Edward Siaga was the leader of the opposition. So Edward Siaga calculated some dates, some events that has to happen. You know, you have to dissolve the cabinet. You have to have nomination day. And so many days after nomination day, you have to do this and you have to do that. So election date must fall on this day. And after setting all his dates and doing all his calculations, Prime Minister P.J. Patterson came out and he said, well, they can talk all they want to talk, but I and I has the authority to set the date, because in our country, it's not like over here where you have specific date. It is the Prime Minister who decides when he calls election. So everybody else can beat up their mouth, but he alone has the authority to set the date. Well, this is what Jesus is talking about. He says it is only God who has the authority. You see, God is not controlled by time. He is the master of time. So he alone decides when he will come. He has the authority to call the date. But in verse 8 now, he says, but you will what? You will receive power when what? The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, this word power here is a different word from what is used in verse 6. This word power is from the Greek word dunamis. Now, the word dunamis, it is from that word that we get the English word dynamite. Amen? Now, I remember when I was a little boy and they were cutting some roads in the hill. They never had these technology that what we have today, like what we have today. You know, they would have to drill some holes in the earth and then in the rocks and then put some dynamite down there. And when they ignite the dynamite, it would blast those rocks in pieces. Well, this is what Jesus is talking about. You shall have the power. You shall have the ability. You shall have the strength. Luke is telling us here that there is a supernatural power that comes from the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me, church? When the church has this power, it will turn the world upside down for God. Paul was able to declare that he was able to take the gospel to the whole world, to every creature under heaven. That is what the power of God does. A few men who were led by the Holy Spirit, was able to bring the gospel to the world. You see, my friend, the gospel of Jesus Christ must be brought to the world. It started with the apostles and those who were scattered abroad. Everywhere they went, they preached and they preached, and people were baptized by the hundreds and the thousands, and until they began to count by multitude. The power of the Holy Spirit was with the gospel. Where the gospel was rejected before was now accepted. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, my friends. Sometimes we wonder, how is it that this gospel of the kingdom will reach the world? When you think of us, only a few Adventists. Just think about the Muslim population, over 2 billion. And yet, through the word of God, these people will one day come to see the light that is in God's word. How is it going to be accomplished? It is through the power. Don't sit and worry your head. What we need to do is to wait on the Lord. Pray for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will use us to turn the world upside down for God. That is what the church needs. The power of God's Holy Spirit. Look at what a few good men could do. Much more if we should all surrender. You see, my friends, when this power comes, it will cause us to witness. You won't have to be beating some people's back for them to witness. Are you hearing me? Some people are ashamed even to own Jesus. They're ashamed to talk about Jesus. But let me tell you, when the power of God's Holy Spirit takes over, we will become like the woman at the well. When she tasted of that living water, she forget about the water pot that she brought to the well, and she ran with all her strength, and she went back to her hometown, and she said, "Come see a man who has told me all I ever did. This must be the Christ." And when the people came and they saw for themselves, they said, "We now believe, not because of what you have said, but because of what we have seen." Let me tell you, God is going to do some things in the hearts of people that they will be convinced that this is the way of the Lord, and they will walk in it. But we have a work to do. Amen? It will make us witnesses. It will cause us to proclaim the truth of the living God. It will lead us to help others to know the man Christ Jesus. I'm talking about the power of God's Holy Spirit. He says, "You are to be my witnesses." You are my witnesses. You are my witnesses. A witness is someone who has what? First-hand information. Someone who has seen. Someone who has heard. You see, the disciples, they could have witnessed for Christ because they have seen Christ. They were with Him. They have been with Him. They had an experience. You see, some of us, we are not able to witness because we have not yet had our experience with Jesus. We are not yet walking hand in hand with Jesus. As if we are afraid to allow Him to lead us. But the disciples, they could witness because they have seen and they have heard, and now they were filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit. You need to have your own personal experience with Jesus. You need to experience Him for yourself. Not what your husband tells you that God has done for him. Not what your wife says that God has done. Not what your children say, my friend. But what you can say that God has done for you. You must have your own personal experience. And then you will have the power to tell others. You will be a witness. The word witness, the Greek word there, martyrs, it means a martyr. Somebody who is willing to die. Are you hearing me? You are willing to give your life. You are to be my witness. If you are not willing to die for Christ, you are not ready to be a witness. You must be willing to give your very life. That's what the disciples did. They gave their very life for the gospel to bring this good news to the world so that you and I today can know about Jesus. We are to be willing to die for Christ. There are millions who yet have not heard about Jesus. And we are to be God's witnesses, martyrs, willing to die for Christ. So Jesus says, you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. The Bible says this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a what? A witness, and then shall the end come. You see, my friend, we may have earthquake, we may have famine, we may have disaster, but Jesus looked at the disciples, the end, and said, the end is not yet. But what he tells them that will be the final conclusion, that the end is near, he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. It is very important that the gospel be preached. And God is depending upon each of us. We don't have to take up mics and go on the streets, but with our lives, we are to be preachers. People need to look on us and see Christ in us. There is something about us that is different from the people of the world. Just as how they could have identified the difference between the disciples and the rest of the world, they could have concluded they had been with Jesus. That is what will make the difference. We need to be connected to Jesus. Are you hearing me, church? So we can witness for Jesus. The gospel is to be preached to the whole world. It began with the disciples and those who were scattered abroad. Wherever they went, they preached it. Preach it, my friend. And the world was turned upside down for Christ. When Christ sent out his disciples, he said to them, go, but to the lost house of Israel. They were not to go to everywhere when he first sent them out. They were only to go to the lost house of Israel. But notice now, before he left for heaven, he said to them, they were to what? Be witnesses to where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the whole world. The whole world needs Jesus. The world needs to hear about the good news of salvation. So Christ has sent us, my friends. We are to go. Go and make disciples. He says all power, all authority he has given to us. When we have that power of God's Holy Spirit, my friend, there is no limit to what we can do for the Lord. So there is this great work ahead of us to be done. I tell you something. Pastor Harding alone cannot do it. The elders alone cannot do it. The conference presidents alone cannot do it. This work calls for every born again believer. The servant of the Lord tells us that everyone who is born into the kingdom of God is born as a missionary. She says that the work is incomplete until the message of the crucified, risen, and soon coming King reaches the end of the world. So, if we are really tired of the earthquakes and the famine and the hurricane and all these things, my brothers and sisters, we need to decide in our heart that we will cooperate with our Lord and our Savior to allow His Holy Spirit to take possession of our lives so he can use us to finish the work so that Jesus can come. Aren't you tired of this world of sin, all the problems down here? When you look and see what has become of this world, you must be sick of this sinful world, my friends. People don't know right from wrong anymore. People don't know good from bad anymore. We seem to be mixed up. And we see signs of destruction and disasters all around us. And yet, my friends, we know that there is a better day coming. So, we are to be his witnesses. Jesus cannot come until the mission is accomplished. I ask you the question this morning. Are you willing to be a witness for Jesus? Are you willing for the Lord to fill you with the power of his Spirit? If we can just empty ourselves of self. And listen, the Lord is waiting to pour out his Spirit, because the three angels' message must be preached. So if we continue to sit and do nothing, not to allow God's Spirit to take full control and to use us, the longer we will stay here and suffer. But you and I can be a part of this great plan of salvation. God is waiting on us, just as how he waited on the children of Israel to be faithful witnesses. If they were faithful, the struggles that they went through, they did not have to go through. If us as a church are faithful and committed to God, my friends, you will be amazed of the things that God could do. The disciples were able to raise the dead. Jesus was able to do all these things, and yet he said, listen, greater things than these you will do. Just look ahead and see a church that is filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit, what it will be doing. Gotta pray for people, and people who couldn't see will begin to see through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Lives are going to be changed. Sinners will be converted. Souls will be saved. Jesus will come. And at last, you and I will go home. I'm longing for that day. What about you? Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you so much for the plan of redemption. The blessed hope that one day we'll be able to live with you in a peaceful world, a world without end. We are thankful to know that you are willing to use us as your instrument to carry this good news to a dying world. Lord, we know the problem. We know that the problem is self, not willing to surrender our all to you, not willing to separate ourselves from the things of the world and to be submerged in the power of God's Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we are asking you one more time to wash us in the blood of Jesus, to remove every stain of sin, to give us clarity of thought, purity of mind, so that our focus will be on Jesus and not on the things of the world. We pray, O God, that you will give us a new Pentecost, one that will enable us to put our differences aside
to be united as a family so that the power can fall upon us. And then we can go to be your witnesses and turn the world around for Jesus. Oh God, we are waiting for your sweet anointing. Prepare us, Lord, and use us. For we pray, we ask it in the wonderful, precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.